We're continuing our study. We may conclude it today on heading or facing sin head on, or dealing with sin head on. Amen. And the subtitle to that is Believers, the Constant Confessor. We should be constantly, consistently, and confessing our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Having said that, let's open up our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, reading verses 5 through 10 in Jesus' name. Reading verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 5, reading verses 5 through 10. One moment, please. Amen. And it reads, this is the message. Am I going too fast?
No, you said the wrong chapter.
After this. Oh, my bad. I said chapter 5?
Chapter 1.
Wow. You know, see, those who are full of the Holy Ghost, the elect, see, they just get it, see. Amen. I'm sorry, Mr. Ali. Yeah. 1 John chapter 1, reading, beginning with verse 5 through 10.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, you should have seen Sister Harrison look at me. Amen. All right. Verse 5. Pray for me. I know you haven't stopped. All right, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to him, being the Lord Jesus Christ, and proclaimed to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What a reminder to keep hearing that, Whenever we are tempted to accuse God of something dark, sinful, evil, whatever it may be, unfair, unjust, in him is no darkness at all. I love how the God Almighty, through the writer of Job, ended chapter 1 by saying, in all of this, 10 children gone, all his wealth gone, he did not sin, neither did he charge God foolishly. He never mischarged God. He never charged God wrongly, because God is above being charged. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, meaning that we're saved, while we walk in darkness, we're saying we're saved, but living an unsaved lifestyle, he said, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, meaning you are saved just as he is in the light, and you walk that way, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That one another can be a little tricky. Is it one another with believers with one another, or one another with us and the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to throw it all up in there. We have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. Verse 9, if we confess, verse 8 rather, if we say we have no sin nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What needs to be pointed out there is that you can deceive yourself. You can believe something that tricks you, your own self. And that goes back to Jeremiah, I think, 17 and 9, that our heart is deceitful above all things and incurably sick. King James is desperately wicked. So you can trick yourself into believing a lie. Do not trust your heart, please. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're talking about washing of the feet. We talked about that on Sunday. Thank God that he constantly washes our feet. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, we're saying the exact opposite of what God is saying. He says we have sinned. We're saying we've never sinned. And therefore, we're saying God is lying. We're telling the truth. But we know the word of God says that every man, let God be true rather, and every man a lie. Verse 8, again, is how we deal with sin. We confess it, we admit it, we acknowledge it. We have the same words and attitude about that sin as our Father has. And when we get to that point only, then he is faithful, trustworthy, and just and righteous to forgive us or remove that sin. Remember, I mean to take away from our sins from us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is so good news. How does he clean our feet, if you will? Well, he does it through discipline. Let's go back over. This is our review. Let's go back over to Hebrews chapter 12. How does he clean our feet? He forgives us. In forgiving us and cleaning us from all unrighteousness, there's a process that he does there. Well, that's what the whole process is called, but in particular, it's discipline. He disciplines us. Look at verse 5. He's talking about earthly discipline from a father, and as well as heavenly discipline from our heavenly father. Verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation? Am I going too fast? Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. He is saying, don't regard it lightly, nor be weary of it. Why? Because verse 7, the 6 says, you need to understand this, that he is disciplining you because he loves you. And he chastises every child that is his. He's saying instead of being blew out by it and sideways by it and put off by it and burdened by it, embrace it because you understand what's really happening. He is showing his love because you are his child. Now I know you got to really think on that. Because if you're in the midst of a hard situation, it's tough to accept that. But I love that it's written there so we can eventually fix our minds and point our mind toward that. Amen? Instead of just landing in the pain of it all. Right. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. Right? Discipline. Because, God is treating you as sons, his children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? I mean, at this time, it was ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous that you did not discipline your child. I mean, it was common. What son is there that the father doesn't discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, all of God's children have participated in discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So if you're not being disciplined, you are not a child of God. She just prayed about checking ourselves, being sure that we're in the faith. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? God is the Father of spirits because we're spiritual beings. If we subjected ourselves to our earthly father's discipline, should we much more subject ourselves to our heavenly father's discipline? The answer is yes. For they, our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. May not always been good for you or me, but it's best for them. But he, our Father, Heavenly Father, the Father of spirits, disciplines us for our good. Isn't that something? Every single, quote unquote, behind whipping or backlashing, I'm putting an earthly term, that he puts on us, every single smack, hit, strike is for our good. Think about that. That's something to just land and meditate on. Every single thing that comes from his hand concerning discipline is for our good. He's a perfectly good father, and he knows best how to discipline us for our good, that we may share his holiness. That sanctification, as Glenda Jean just mentioned. Sharing, you could put that as another definition for sanctification. The sharing of God's holiness. He's doing all of this that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Comma. But later, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. More definitions of sanctification. Another definition of sanctification. One is to share in his holiness. Another is to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what it's all about. It's not discipline for discipline's sake. Even as earthly parents, we're not disciplining them just to discipline them. We want to discipline them so that they're better people. Well, how much more our Heavenly Father? So how does he cleanse us from all unrighteousness? How does he get us to that point? Gets us to the... What's the purpose of discipline? The purpose of discipline is to get us to confess that sin. Acknowledge that sin and not to do that sin anymore. What's the purpose of natural discipline on the earth? Your child does something. You tap, tap so that they don't do that anymore. Godly discipline is to bring us to a point of confession, which then leads to God forgiving us, and then that brings about restoration. Reconciliation. Does that make sense? Thank you, Lord God. So he's faithful in his discipline, meaning he can be he can be trusted. He's dependable. He's reliable. Sure, true, solid. He doesn't over-discipline. He doesn't under-discipline. It's right on point. And he's just. He's righteous, virtuous. He's not hitting you in a fit of anger. He's not hitting you harder because, you know, he doesn't favor you as much as the next person. You know, parents got all kind of hang-ups. This is the one end of us come out right. Seriously, in a fallen world, it's really a wonder. If one put a pop, grace of God, it's a wonder.
You got that right.
It's just a wonder. God, each hit, what you're supposed to have, each strike, each placement, when, where, the time, how long, is perfect, is for our good. Because what's the end game? Sharing his holiness and be a partaker of the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Sanctification, Glenn and Jean mentioned, in a nutshell. But I don't want to throw that word around unless we have some teeth behind, something undergird it. You follow me, Chris? You just want to hear the word, meaning I want to share in his holiness. He's doing this so we can be a partaker of his holiness. Think about that. Land there for a moment. This is why I'm disciplining you, son, daughter. I want you to be more like me. Doesn't that sound like when we began way back in the beginning with holiness? Remember, I'm the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt to be your God, and I want you to be holy because I am holy. Well, this is how I get you to that holiness, through discipline. Because our feet keep getting dirty. Our feet keep getting dirty. Don't need another bath. Don't need another shower. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've been redeemed. We are saved. We are justified, and we are on our way to heaven and so glad, as the old saints used to say. But we still have to negotiate the life here. We walk around, feet get dirty. Feet get dirty. Thank God he don't let them stay dirty. Thank God for discipline.
Amen.
And then he cleanses us. He cleanses us. We get dirty again. He cleanses us. Why? Because he loves us. We're his child. Word of God said, if you don't discipline your child, you hate them. Amen. But that fits with him saying, hey, if I'm disciplining you, I'm loving you. He's merciful to forgive. He teaches us how to get to the forgiveness phase. He said, you confess that sin. I just don't want you to come up in here saying, oh, you know, just a robotic, non-emotional, yeah, sin. You know, when you get two kids in the office, such a waste of time when I became a teacher and a student too. All right, say you're sorry. I'm sorry. And that kid said, what you going to say? Sorry too. You go back to your class, you're just as angry, no better for the work where none of it. It was all, God has said, no, I'm not for that. I'm going to use a word, homologeo, I expected my pastor to teach what that word means so that when you do get to that point, you'll know how to confess. Yeah. Like, have mercy on me, O Lord God, as David in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me. Blot out my transgressions. I've sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned. Now renew me a right spirit. Break me down. And so we are to continually, constantly, and consistently confess our sin. Continually, constantly, and consistently ask the Lord to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. And when we are serious about that, He is faithful and just to remove that sin from us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We said it on Sunday. Why? Two reasons. One, because we are His. And because we are His, He's made a covenant with us. A covenant that He'll never forget. And that covenant has been ratified in the blood of Jesus. So it is something that cannot be taken back, Mr. Arlene. He can't take it back. He can't say, oh, made a mistake. You know, Mr. Arlene, I let you in for 5 years, but I found out I'm on further review.
I need to pull it back.
That's not our Father.
Hallelujah.
He is faithful, trustworthy, righteous, and He's just, and He's firm, He's solid, and He's sure. And He is not a man that He should lie. He cannot lie.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are mine, He said, saith the Lord, and I've made a covenant with you, and that covenant is unbreakable and irrevocable and irreversible. Hallelujah. We need to really meditate on the fact that we are His. He's our Father. We're His children. That's watered down. Let's just be real with it. I think even tonight is even more undergirding of that even now. What does it mean? We say He's our Father, but that really means He really is our Father. He really loves us. And His discipline is for our good. And all of His instruction is for us to bring Him glory. Amen?
Amen.
Someone once said, sin needs to be confessed and forsaken as a regular pattern of life. Sin needs to be confessed and forsaken as a regular pattern of life. Doesn't that fit the Greek tense of the present tense? If we are constantly confessing our sins, He is constantly faithful and just to keep forgiving us of our sins and to keep cleansing us from all unrighteousness. But the key part is that we must be constantly, consistently, and confessing our sins. I love that. As a way of life. And we're doing this before a Father and not a judge. Yeah. He could easily be a judge. He could say, come boldly to the throne of wrath rather than grace. It's mind-boggling. It's a throne of grace? Really? And He said, come. Come boldly. Not only come up here like, think I can get, come on. Right, Hebrews 13, that we may boldly say the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. He said, man, because why? You belong to me. You are my covenant people. Man. I want to just make a quick point here. For your thinking. For this forgiveness that we said that is parental or paternal is relational forgiveness. That's another name for it. And it is restorational forgiveness. Okay? So this forgiveness is relational and restorational. So restorational, N-A-L. And what was the other one I said? Relational. Now, relational. These two words here, notice, obviously the root here is restore, and the root here is relation. I told you, I thank God for God's people. He speaks through them to get a word to you. And I never forget when Pastor Rodney Pearson explained to me, because I really wanted to have a real relationship with the Lord. You follow me? Because I've seen a lot of fake people. I just saw a lot of what later would be called hypocrisy. I didn't want that. I wanted a real relationship with the Lord. But it wasn't clicking. That's why I repeat things so often. Just so often. And as I was talking to Pastor Pierce about this, we were in conversation. He gave me an example. I know I've told you about this before, probably not too long ago, but bear with me again. He told me about my relationship with my wife. He said, and I'm paraphrasing because it's been about 30 years ago, but he said something like, the gist of it was, you know, like, you don't plan a time when you're going to talk to your wife. You just live life with her. She's just in your life. You talk to her. You fellowship as a way of life. You're always in constant communication with her and she with you. Or you're always prepared to talk to one another. Let's just do that with the Lord. So that made me get God out of a box of getting up at 3 in the morning or 5 in the morning, 3 times a day. I understand the Lord told Daniel to do that. Hey, Daniel, you better do it. That's what you need to do. He told some of them to face a certain direction, which the Muslims still do now. But under the new covenant, it's not any of that per se, unless he gives you specific direction. But now what we ought to be doing is living life with the Lord. You're always in communion with him. He's always in communion with you. Or if you're not actually in an active meaning ongoing, happening right at the moment, either he talking to you or you to him, you're in an attitude of, you position yourself to want to hear him talk to you. That way you're in prayer all day for life. Set me free. But then I'm talking to him about, how do I get here? Where are my keys? It's just like, what do I say here? Fire truck goes by, the rescue. Somebody may be inside, so I'm praying for them. I mean, you just are talking to him.
All the time.
Thank you about everything.
Amen.
That's what I want you to get. Don't stick him in a box. Okay, I pray number 3. I'm getting up at 6 in the morning. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do my daily devotion. And then act like the devil from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock till the next time that you pray and do your devotion. You follow me? Because if you talk to him in 3 hours in between, you may think twice about the 9 o'clock devotion. Because you recognize, you know what, I'm not really thinking right from 6:05 to 8:55. Mm-hmm. It's life. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
It's relationship. And it's restorational in the sense that the reason that I'm forgiving you, once you understand that you've broken my law, is because I want to restore our relationship.
Thank you.
I want to restore it. Mm-hmm. So forgiveness has at the root of it, or has at the purpose of it, is restorational and it is relational. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Man, we said it on Sunday that our justification, which is judicial forgiveness from the bench, the judge, is fixed and settled, right? You're saved, you're redeemed, sins are forgiven, been removed, bam, that's done. But our sanctification, we said, ebbs and flows, right? Depending on how we deal with the sin in our life. So we stopped on Sunday. All right, then we went to the question. I had another point I want to make too. We talked about the discipline of the Lord, right? And we talked about why we're being disciplined to share in his holiness and to be a partaker of the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Some other underpinnings and to kind of fill in that too is to realize that discipline it deals with our sin, right? We said that once we sin, it deals with that sin that should lead to repentance, which then should lead to a confession, which then leads to the Lord forgiving us. So you see the order. You know, he lets you know the sin. We don't stop it. He has to whip us, you know. Then we're like, okay, finally, we're going to, I repent of the sin. I confess it is sin. I repent of that sin. Then he forgives us of that sin. And what does he do at the end? He restores the relationship. So that's kind of the order. So it would look like this. It would look like this. So first is the number one, you would say, is would be the him informing us. We will put that, or notifying us to inform of sin. Okay? That'd be the first. He informs us of our sin. Does that make sense? You're sinning. Maybe you don't know about it. He said, let me tell him, my son, daughter, hey, you're sinning. Two, and let's say we don't deal with it. So that's kind of what's implied here too. Mm-hmm. But now don't take that as hard and dry, because he may bust you in the head after the first time. You know what I'm saying? So don't just take that, the pastor said I got more time to keep doing this sin. And I'm not saying that. So be careful. So I'm going to leave it at that. He informed you of the sin. If we don't deal with it, we keep doing it, however you want to put it, then comes discipline. All right? D-I-S-C-I-P-L-I-N-E. E-L-I-N-E. I'm doing better, Mr. Darling. I'm trying to do better on my writing. All right? He disciplines us. Okay? Chastises us. Then the purpose of discipline, here's the point I want to make. The purpose of discipline is to lead to a confession. That's 1 John 1:9. Confess our sin, right? Had a saying, confession. Deals with two things, attitude and our words. Or I'm going to erase that. I'm going to put attitude and agreement. Agreement. Because we're to agree with him, right? Agreement. That got a little shaky there. Okay. Then four, confession should lead to repentance. ANC. Yeah. Okay. Repentance. And then repentance should lead to what God will do, which is forgiveness. He'll forgive. Now I added one in between here, because we sin, he disciplines us, leads us to confessing that sin and attitude and agreement. We repent of it. He forgives us, right? 1 John 1:9. If we repent of our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And last but not least, I don't know how to make this go up. This is that, and I don't know how to make this go up, so I'm sorry. It's way at the bottom. But then I'm going to put restoration. I'm going to put the restore relationship. Okay, that's off the page, so. Oh, okay. Okay, there you go. Okay, so you all got number one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, I can slide it. All right, thank you, Lord. So does that make sense? You sin,
He disciplines you for it with the purpose or the aim or the objective or the goal of that is to lead to confession. That's even the grace of God. To whip you to the point that you confess of that sin, and then you can, if you truly confess of it, you're going to repent of it. Now, I've read the order on that, how that go, but you're going to repent of that sin. Like, I'm going to turn away, I ain't doing this no more. And I can have it in this order as confession three, because you must confess that, first of all, there is a sin to repent of. Does that make sense? So that's why I have it in that order. Then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then to restore the relationship. You know, David said to restore to me. And really what he's restoring in relationship is the relationship, the restoring of the relationship leads to here. Amen. Joy of salvation. Having said that, we'll look at that in a moment. Restoring of the joy. David said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Thank God he does that. He don't say, no, I'm going to leave you your worm. I ain't doing nothing for you. Told you 100 times to stop doing that. He never gives up on us. I love that. We give up on people, but he never does.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow, I cannot believe that. Man, we still ain't moved forward. That's okay. We have somewhat. Okay, so here's the question we asked. All that is still review, because the question we asked last Sunday is this. When we confess our sins, And our sins are forgiven, right? We confess, we repent, we're forgiven. Relationship's restored. The joy of our salvation is back rolling. Does it reverse the consequences of that sin? The answer is no, okay? We're going to hit on that tonight and pick up on it more fully on Sunday, Lord willing. Okay, so let's jump on this a little bit. Let's talk about consequences. Again, when we confess our sins, we repent of our sins, we receive forgiveness of that sin, our relationship has been restored, and the joy of our salvation is once again abounding, does it then reverse or remove, mitigate, lessen in any way the consequences of our sin? The answer is a resounding no. But I want you to hear that. You're still forgiven, right? You confessed, you repented, it's still forgiven, relationship has been restored, the joy is rolling, all that has happened, but that in itself does not say, okay, well, you're no longer going to have the baby because you had an affair and the girl got pregnant. Nope, you still go through with it. You follow what I'm saying? It doesn't reverse it or remove it. Let's look at some foundational scriptures or concerning consequences of our sin. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Did everyone get this up here? Okay. All right. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You see that? He didn't say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, unless he confesses it, repents of it, is forgiven, and it should be restored, then he won't have to. No, whatever he sows, period, that will he reap. Does that make sense? Yeah, you don't get a break from that. One more. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Jeremiah 17 and 10, we'll stop here. Jeremiah 17 and 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. You see that? I, the Lord, does what? Search the heart and test the mind. Here's the reason why I do that. To give every man, person, according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. See that fruit? Yeah. That's reaping. That's the same sowing and reaping. The Lord God tests the mind, searches the heart, so that he may give every person according to their ways, according to the fruit of their deed. Give what? Give what? Remember the sowing and reaping. He's going to give according to what one has sown. And he does that by testing the heart and mind. Again, there are no exceptions. He didn't say, but if I do forgive this person, they don't have to reap the fruit of their deeds. Doesn't happen. And so we'll look next time at some consequences that happened even after the sin was confessed and parental or paternal forgiveness was given. We'll look at consequences that still happened after the fact. Amen? In Jesus' name, amen. But he's still a loving God, am I right?
Amen.
Yeah, he's letting us know, hey, you sown that, you reap that. No, you can't look crazy at me. I didn't have to forgive you. I didn't have to save you in the beginning. So don't look at me twisted at that. Why didn't you remove the consequences? No, why did you sin? Because you were driven of your own lust and enticed. Don't blame that on me. Amen? Amen. Father God, help us not to look at you ever cross-eyed, because you are never to blame. You said it in word in James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he anyone with evil. For every person is drawn away when they are tempted of their own lust and trapped. We have only ourselves to blame. I thank you that when we choose to sin, when we choose to break your law, that you give us a way back to restoration, to repentance, to forgiveness. Thank you for that. And we'll take advantage of it. But at the same time, we're working on sinning less and less and bringing you more glory. And this is what we do, Father, as you permit us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.